This is Radio Free Galisteo. Today we have a special edition of our podcast. Radio Free Galisteo's Denise Lynch will read a chapter from her mother's as yet unpublished work, A Galisteo Tale. The piece is titled Coyote and the Last Comanche.
Hello, Denise Lynch here, coming to you from the heart of the Galisteo Village in New Mexico. I'm here at Quartermill Gallery, the physical home of Radio Free Galisteo. This fall, we celebrate our legacy by bringing to you some sounds of the desert. My late mother, Priscilla Hoback, also known affectionately as the Queen of All Mediums, left behind several collectible pieces of her artwork, including some short stories and a book about her beloved Galisteo. Today I'll be sharing one of the short stories, titled Coyote and the Last Comanche. Along the path through the bosque, cottonwood trees tremble, caressed by green and golden spirits. The creek brings an oasis of life-giving water that bubbles throughout the village. In the surrounding desert, the smell of sun-drenched rocks fills the air. The warm rocks exude a hint of death. I follow the trail leading to the trees. The mare captivates me with her glance. I move closer to feel her heartbeat. My fingers trace the narrow blaze that runs to the star between her eyes. Her long, slender face allows her to reach deep into a clump of grass and still see danger approaching from behind. She exhales, exploding fine particles of overripe apples. They settle in my hair and scatter down my neck. My teacher taught that horses connect us to the stars. I stretch my arms up into the night sky. The constellation Pegasus twinkles back in greeting. Stories pour from the mare's liquid brown eyes into my cupped hands. A blue shadow crosses the trail. Coyote, a little footsore, makes his way following the last Comanche. Today he has failed to catch anything to eat. He watches a rider, shaped like a woman, who moves towards the village. She ignores the two ravens soaring above. Coyote follows her, keeping a safe distance. His hungry eyes are on the rabbits tied to her saddlebags. His hope is that she will toss him the scraps, wasting nothing. She crosses the high desert, moving like an unseen shadow. This is private land belonging to wealthy ranchers. No subdivisions or outlining buildings mar these vistas. There are only long miles of barbed wire fences and posted no trespassing signs. Perched high on the southern hogback, a compound of buildings overlook the village. The main building is a large castle, most conveniently reached by private airplane. Occasionally, the landing strip is quite busy. Planes coming and going can be seen for miles. Villagers speculate. Coyote notices that the grounds are quieter than usual. The castle is dark. He has heard the rumors going around the village. The absent owner has died in prison, there for sexually molesting underage girls in his pleasure palace. They say his library walls are covered in suede leather, and the kitchen lacks nothing. Perched high on the hogback with the ravens and hawks, the views are spectacular. Coyote thinks, he did not have the privacy he thought, and he picked the wrong little girl. Every major newspaper exposed details of his financial and sexual life, although few who live here had met him personally. He was a hot topic around the village at one time. Galisteo loves gossip. The rider passes the castle. Two ravens loudly caw a warning. The last Comanche answers them, whistling like a hawk. She turns in the saddle to glance at Coyote. He flags his tail in return. She and Coyote share many of the same strengths and a few of the same weaknesses. Both wander the basin unbound by time. The wealthy landowners say, well past their time. And unable to keep them away, they think good riddance to them. They are nothing but trouble, telling us to share a little. Maybe give extra help to the village, like the compost pile and the apples on the ground, thinks Coyote. Like a high-speed internet connection, thinks the last Comanche. The last Comanche wears a long vest of coyote skins. 9 desert coyotes were shot in winter, when their coats were at the fullest, the most empowered with spirit that keeps more away than the cold. Coyote is unconcerned about her vest. He follows the sure-footed pony down a slippery rock slope. This pony carries royal Spanish blood from the war horses in Europe. Ancestors came to the West and ran free where natural selection strengthened them. Comanche Indians caught and trained them. Now it is the last Comanche who works with these young horses. Today, as she rides into Galisteo Village, Coyote observes, she passes invisible voices who cry out to her from past raids. She listens to their stories of war, loss, and genocide. She never turns her head to shed a tear. Those who see her ignore her and her horse and her dog. She scowls, and the three deep creases between her dark eyes never quite relax. These are not her people, and this is not her time, but somehow she is here. She takes no interest in the endless complexities of village life. The moon is rising. Coyote climbs to the top of the hogback to sing his night song. His music will fly up and reach the dark side of the moon. This dark side is not the moon we know. We know a moon face that shows a familiar rabbit, one that controls simple things like moods and the tides and dreams. This dark side is always hidden away from us. Her face is turned from Earth. She watches distant galaxies, ones that influence love and war. This moon brings the souls of geniuses and madmen here. This is the moon that informs the last Comanche. First Raven says, she starts every day with new eyes. First light, first shadow. No one has ever inhaled the air she breathes. The path she rides has no tracks, no footprints. She stalks the Great Spirit. Her path is newness like the velvet coat of a spotted fawn. Yes, and soft like the petals of the white rose, whose stem prick with sharp thorns, says Second Raven. Her horse splashes across the creek. The footing changes from mud to quicksand as she turns the pony up the steep bank. The whoosh of raven wings shadow her. She hears the growl of Coyote's empty stomach. Still, she does not hurry. Horse and rider trail history behind them like a cloud of dust. These are strands of past time hidden in the desert, she says out loud. I will gather them and twist them into one long braid to wear around my neck. The past is close to my heart for all those who can see. The last Comanche is coming from the clay quarry. She gathered clay there to make into bowls. My bowls are like those made here thousands of years ago. They are ancient shapes that need no improvement. I will fire them in a shallow pit and catch a gentle breeze. Air spirits will touch them with magic and beauty. To those who cannot tell the ancient pottery from the bowls I made today, I will answer, I made them both. I make two bowls for the orphan elk. He will have fresh rainwater to drink and corn masa to eat. Already his ribs are disappearing and his spotted coat is beginning to gleam. I will make one bowl for my mother and decorate it with the four-pointed Pindi star. My star, the one that guides me through the night sky. My mother can fill this bowl with chili and beans and have lunch with her friends. I will make a large bowl to hold the apples and pears I gather from the orchard. It will sit on the wooden table in the kitchen and tempt all with its sweetness. The last bowl I will make today is for the yellow butterflies. It has a wide rim where they rest and drink honey-sweetened water. I will not paint decorations on it. Their wings will flutter the designs. First Raven warns, she wears that twisted braid of past time around her neck. That always causes trouble. Second Raven notes, she wants the villagers to show respect for those who came before, the Pueblos and the Indians. First Raven instructs, the past is not enough. Before they can hear her, she must add strands of present time. Maybe even a few strands of future time could be twisted into the braid. Second Raven worries, what if she's not strong enough to carry all three braids? She may need Coyote's help. Coyote and the last Comanche sit with their backs against warm basalt rock sheltered from the wind. They look across the desert to the castle. All is quiet. They turn to see the highway and village church. Not even the leaves and the cottonwood trees are moving. Coyote continues, I could say I have seen much over time, but really most things stay the same. As strangers come to town, they change the culture, maybe not for the better. Change is destructive to the generations who have grown old here. You desire that earth to be honored, and as for me, I seek respect for myself. The last Comanche answers Coyote, as long as I wear these braids around my neck, the old stories will be told. Living here comes with a price of human work and human blood that need to be poured upon the dry bones buried deep in the clay. The last Comanche tosses the rabbit scraps to Coyote. He snapped them up without so much as a thank you. Sparks shot through the dry air, making patterns that echoed the whirling constellations. I am no longer hungry. One can conquer and still not be the winner. I am Coyote, the trickster of time, and the desert belongs to me.
Radio Free Galisteo is listener-supported. If you go to www.radiofreegalisteo.com, you can find our Patreon support button. Click it and become an active supporter of this podcast.